You're listening to Valley Edition. It's been over 2 years now since California voters approved Proposition 47, a measure which recategorized many drug and property crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. It's one of a number of big changes in California's criminal justice system in recent years, and even 2 years later, it's still controversial. While it has reduced the state's prison population, some say it's led to an uptick in property crimes. Others say it's still too soon to know about the law's full impact. So what do we know about the law 2 years in? That's what journalists from four California newspapers sought to find out with a new investigative report, Freed But Forgotten, the Prop 47 Project. It's the work of the USA Today Network California, including the Desert Sun, the Ventura County Star, the Record Searchlight, and the Salinas Californian. Joining us now is one of the journalists involved in the project, Jill Castellano, an editor with the Desert Sun. Jill, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
The title of your series, Freed But Forgotten, hints at one of the major takeaways from your project, that the support services for these people, this isn't there in many cases. Give us an example of the problem and its scope. What's exactly going on here with the people who are now out following Prop 47?
Well, if you want an example of the problem, you can look at the lead character in our story, who I think totally exemplifies what's going on here. His name is Ruben Lopez. He was in prison on a third strike back when California had very strict three strikes laws. So his third felony, he was sentenced to a life in prison because he had 1.8 grams of meth. He wasn't selling, he just had it on him. And he was sentenced to life in prison for that. Well, now under this new law, Prop 47, you can reduce that crime to a misdemeanor. So all of a sudden, he doesn't even qualify for three strikes. And after 20 years in prison, which he served from 1994 to 2014, he was let out. So what that means is he's out on the streets with no help and no support. And he's just kind of walking around trying to figure out what to do now. So it seems like Prop 47 is this great thing that's giving people their lives back. And in a way, you know, it's freed him from incarceration. That's absolutely true. But he's not back on his feet. And when you talk to him, he doesn't say Prop 47 was great. He says, Prop 47 did nothing for me. At least when I was in prison, I had a regiment. I had something that I did every day. Now I can't find food. I don't have a home. You know, he's living in his cousin's auto shop. And he doesn't think that Prop 47 has been successful. And a lot of the people we've talked to are the same way. You can see the scope of this problem by going to Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles. You know, you start talking to people down there and you'll realize that there are a decent number of them who have been affected by Prop 47, because these are people who have committed a lot of low-level drug crimes or property crimes that are now classified as misdemeanors. But just because those crimes have been reclassified doesn't mean that anyone's, you know, necessarily better off.
Do we know how many people out there are like the gentleman you just told us about, or others? Do we even have an idea of how many people have been reclassified under Prop 47?
That's a really good question, and we wanted to answer this and found out that it was actually really difficult to do. If you go to the state of California and ask them how many people have had felonies reduced to misdemeanors under Prop 47, they'll tell you, we don't know. So what we had to do to answer this question was to go to all of the counties, the 58 counties in California, and ask them, do you keep records? Do you know how many people have petitioned your county to reduce felony convictions under Prop 47? We were able to get records from 21 counties, and we were able to estimate that for the state, 198,000 felony convictions have been retroactively erased by Prop 47.
Again, we're talking about this new reporting project from a number of papers here in California, including the Desert Sun. Jill Castellano is an editor with the Sun and joins us today on Valley Public Radio talking about the impact of Prop 47. You write that there's a number of other things that we know now about Prop 47 through your reporting. Drug busts are down. Drug arrests
That's
are down.
Right.
Tell me a little more about that.
Well, it's fascinating. So we analyzed data, 10 years of data collected by the Attorney General's office on every crime every arrest in California. And what we found is that there was a huge, significant, statistically significant drop in drug arrests in California the year after Prop 47 compared to the 9 years before Prop 47. In 1 year, there was a 9.5% drop, which is unheard of in California for drug arrests. 22,000 fewer people have been arrested on drug crimes. And these are all sorts of drug crimes, meth, heroin, cocaine possession, all these hard drugs that were downgraded to a misdemeanor. Cops are not even bothering anymore. You know, we did the interviews, we talked to law enforcement around the state, and what they're saying is now that Prop 47 reduced these hard drug possession crimes to a misdemeanor, I can throw someone in jail, I can arrest them, you know, for meth or heroin, I can throw them in jail, but they're going to be back out on the streets very soon. It doesn't change anything, and it's not worth it anymore.
One of the other things that supporters of Prop 47 said in the arguments for the measure back in 2014 was this would result in savings to the state. Do we know if that's actually turned out to be true?
Well, it's actually quite controversial at this point. Yes, it did result in savings, but the amount of savings is up for debate, and where that money is going is still sort of up in the air at this point. So Prop 47 advocates, when they were pushing for Prop 47 and trying to get voters to pass it, they did promise the law would save hundreds of millions of dollars in prison costs because you have all these people who were in jail who would suddenly, in prison, who would suddenly get freed. So the state wouldn't have to pay for them anymore. So it would save all this money. And they specifically wrote in that proposition that a portion of that money had to be spent on rehab programs and programs to help people, you know, with substance abuse issues and to help people get back on their feet and avoid the prison system in the future. Well, what's happened now is that there's a dispute over how much money was actually saved and how much money is actually going to go toward those programs. So the Legislative Analyst Office for the state says that $130 million were saved in the past fiscal year because of Prop 47. But the state estimated more around $30 million. In total, they're only putting about $67 million into their Prop 47 fund. Now, that fund exists and the money's in there, but even so, none of the money has changed hands. None of the savings have gone to any programs yet to help people with mental health or substance abuse issues, like the law said.
One of the other things you mentioned in your report I found surprising. You said many people don't know about Prop 47 or don't know about their rights that are restored to take advantage of some of these things. What's going on there? Because don't they have to apply in this case to have their crimes reclassified from felonies to misdemeanors?
You'd think so. But what can actually happen is that a public defender can apply on your behalf. The person who was handling your case originally can go ahead and put in a petition on your behalf. And what happened is originally there was a tight deadline for when you had to file these petitions by, these Prop 47 petitions. And all these public defenders were concerned that they wouldn't be able to file all of them on time if they had to go and talk to their talk to the people that they're petitioning on behalf of. And so instead, they just decided not to tell these people and go ahead and file petitions for them just to make sure that they could get them in by the deadline. The deadline has since been extended, so we've got years before we need to worry about that again. But what the result of that has been is we know that there are people out there who have no idea that their convictions have been reduced to misdemeanors under Prop 47. And so they can't take advantage of the benefits of having that felony off of their record, because they have no idea that it's gone.
In your reporting for this project, did you come across any success stories? You've told us about some of the people who feel that Prop 47 let them down, or the state didn't provide some help in the transition from prison to civilian life. Are there success stories out there that you can point to?
Oh, yes, definitely. And it shouldn't be overlooked that there are success stories, because Prop 47 is helping people get felonies off of their record that follow them around. And a great example of that is this woman we interviewed named Ingrid Archie, who she was laid off from her job because she had a felony on her record, and her job was, you know, the stability in her life. And suddenly, when her company developed this new policy of no longer hiring felons, she lost her job and she had children to support. And so she started, you know, stealing from convenience stores to support her children, stealing diapers. Eventually, she ended up arrested and back in the system because she didn't have a job. While those convictions that she ended up back in prison for, she was able to reduce under Prop 47, and then she got out early. And since she got out, she has been a huge advocate for Prop 47, saying that, you know, it's given her a second chance. Now that she's back, she's going to straighten her life up. She's going to get her kids back, who have been estranged from her for a while. And now she has a new job, and now she has her kids back, and she's a big advocate for how Prop 47 can help people and how everyone should take advantage of the opportunity to reduce those felonies.
Now, there are also critics of Prop 47 from another camp. Some in law enforcement say it has led to, in some cases, an increase in certain crimes, property crimes and things like that. What did you find along those lines in your research?
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been a question that was nagging at us since the beginning, since we first sat down and decided we wanted to pursue this project, because, you know, the reporters who originally talked about it said, well, we keep hearing this from law enforcement. We keep hearing this thing about property crime going up and, you know, crime going up, and all these people who got out on Prop 47 are not doing anything except, you know, ruining society in some way or another. And we wanted to verify those claims. So we did the data analysis on violent crime and property crime to see if that's really the case. And at this point, it's more of a debate about whether that's true or not. So property crime did climb in California from the year before to the year after Prop 47 by 8%. And so we know that there was a little bit of an increase, but criminology experts say, you know, there's no direct link to Prop 47. We don't know for sure that that's because of Prop 47. We do know that the largest contributing factor to that rise in property crime was an increase in car theft, and car theft was not affected by Prop 47. So there's no direct link that we're seeing right there. But what police will say is, you know what, it's just the beginning, and we're going to continue to see in future years that property crime is going up, that these people are stealing, that they're, you know, they can't hold a job, that they're just delinquents, you know, lifelong delinquents. But if you look historically at the data in California, if you look at since 1980 onward, you can see that property crime has plummeted to these all-time lows, and these little increases we're seeing now are, you know, almost non-existent if you look at the graph for 30 or 40 years worth of data. So we, you know, we recognize their concern, but we have no way to confirm that these small property crime increases are connected to Prop 47.
And we'll certainly continue to watch that. One other thing, you mentioned that there are around 200,000 people who have seen their crimes reclassified from felonies to misdemeanors. Do we know how many people specifically have been released from prison early, such as the gentleman you told us about at the start of our interview today? Do we know how many people are in that circumstance who were out of jail because of Prop 47, not just the retroactive reclassification after they had already served their time?
So we don't. That number, that nearly 200,000 felony convictions, includes people who were both petitioning from prison and jail to get out early, who were currently serving a sentence that then got reduced and could get out early, and people who had already served their time, who then petitioned later on to get that felony off of their record. Even though they already served their time, it still, you know, it exists on their record anyway. So we don't know, because the data doesn't exist. No one's collecting it. And that's a big issue with Prop 47 and with, you know, with data collection in the state, is that we don't have an idea, and we don't have a way to track the people directly who got out on Prop 47 to do some sort of study or analysis just of them and what happens to all of them? You know, are the majority of them on the streets? Do the majority of them have new jobs? It's hard to say how many. We know that it's a mixed bag, and we know that there are a good number of them who have not had the success story that Prop 47 advocates have been pushing.
One more thing before we go, taking a step back from the story itself and more behind the scenes, tell us about the process of putting together this project. You have four different newspapers from across the state, all Gannett papers, part of the USA Today Network, California. You did this reporting all up and down the state, including some in Visalia. Tell us about how the reporting project came about and evolved.
Yeah, it's really interesting how it evolved. So the USA Today Network, California didn't exist prior to this project. But what happened was that in June, our company Gannett sends more than 100 journalists to New Orleans, where this group called Investigative Reporters and Editors, or IRE, was hosting its annual conference. And so reporters who are from USA Today Network papers throughout California, those four papers, you know, they all met for lunch and they decided they wanted to work on a project together. And when they talked it over, they agreed that if there was one issue that seems statewide and seems like it needs more research, it's criminal justice reform. You know, it's things like Prop 47, where people throw around ideas all the time about what its impact has been. It's been a savior, it's been terrible, and we wanted to investigate whether that was true or not. So from there, it evolved to weekly phone calls with reporters and editors from each of these papers and filing records requests. You know, we divided up these records requests. Okay, you take this section of the state and I'll take this section of the state, and we'll contact every county and figure out where to file this request, and continued conversation, then eventually doing this data analysis, which was largely me and the Desert Sun doing this data analysis and then sharing it with the other papers, and then going back and reporting based on our findings in each of these little areas. You know, if we found something that was interesting in Salinas, then we would have the Salinas paper go check it out. So it was a lot of communication and a lot of coordination, which is why it took so long, you know, 7 months to get this project out there. And we were able to brand ourselves for the first time as the USA Today Network California and come out at the end of that saying, you know, we did something that we couldn't have done on our own, and get something out there that we thought would have a pretty important impact.
You can find links to the stories on our website at kvpr.org. Again, it's called Freed But Forgotten. It's a project about Prop 47 from the USA Today Network, California, including Jill Castellano with the Desert Sun. She's an editor there and one of the forces behind this new investigative project. Jill, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.